Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all sorts of pre-owned inventory. And a great service department and sales staff there to help you when you need them at the most. Whether it's a state inspection, or you need to get a big part replaced, simple oil change, they got you covered at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get into today, this just in, there is no Penn State men's basketball tomorrow night against Minnesota, as there are positive COVID results within the Minnesota program. So, no Penn State in the Golden Gophers tomorrow night. They're working with the Big Ten Conference now on potential options to reschedule the game. Penn State, of course, as usual, you know by now, ticket holders for the Minnesota game will be notified once a determination has been made regarding an opportunity to reschedule the game. You can see that just coming in as we speak. And the Nittany Lions scheduled to play again, of course, at Iowa, 4:30 game Saturday afternoon. And we'll have that for you right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So no Penn State men's basketball to talk about tomorrow. But as far as today goes, we have Nate Bauer from On3 Sports to talk hoops and football. And Neil Coulong will join us to recap the Steelers season, the playoff loss against the Chiefs, Big Ben finishing up his career. Lots to get into with Neil, as always, on that, plus the rest of the NFL playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if we talk about what was a pretty bad officiating weekend for Super Wild Card weekend, of course, highlighted by what happened with Jerome Bulger and his crew in the Cincinnati-Las Vegas game. And NFL did it right by making sure that they don't work another playoff game again. I mean, you talk about a double whammy of blowing the whistle and then allowing the touchdown to count. I mean, it definitely looked like it was an inverted whistle because Joe Burrow was close to being out of bounds when he threw the ball for the touchdown, but still. That was just absurd. And then in the Eagles game, you had a number of really questionable calls, including the Jason Kelce holding that took back a big play. I think that was the play to Dallas Goedert on the drive that maybe could have potentially gotten the Eagles back in the game. That was an egregious call. Then there was the call on Derek Barnett, where I guess technically it's not a good call, but Derek Barnett puts that on himself, so I'm not going to put as much flack on the officials there. So it just wasn't a very good weekend for officiating for Super Wild Card weekend. But we'll see what happens this time around. As for last night, in the first ever Monday night wild card game, that was surprising. And from an Eagles perspective, this has worked out pretty well for them, where obviously they looked abysmal and just overloaded and overwhelmed in the loss to the Bucs. Then you saw how the Cowboys game ended, of course. We talked about that all show yesterday. But then you saw what happened with the Cardinals last night. At least the Eagles didn't have negative yardage after one quarter. They didn't have many yards, but at least they didn't have negative yardage. And Kyler Murray was just as bad, if not worse, than Jalen Hurts. And I'll tell you what, Cliff Kingsbury, I really thought he was starting to make strides as a head coach. I didn't like that move by the Cardinals at first. I'm not a big college coach. I'm not big on hiring a college coach into the NFL. And I guess I'm particularly soured from the whole Chip Kelly experiment with the Eagles several years ago. But I really thought he was starting to take strides. But then you saw what happened in the final five games of the season and then culminating to last night's total debacle. And I'm not sure if Cliff Kingsbury is that good an NFL coach. And I even wouldn't be surprised if he's on the hot seat next year for Arizona. Because it was pointed out today by Dan Patrick, actually, and this even goes back to his Texas Tech days, where his teams have faltered late in the season. I mean, that is, and this is like 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, that's embarrassing. I don't care what level you're coaching on, where you can't get your team to be playing their best football at that time of the year. In fact, they're probably playing their worst football at that time of the year. Something's wrong. And in this team in particular, I thought this was a Super Bowl-worthy team. I really did. If you asked me back in October, November, I thought this would be a Super Bowl contender. The pieces they had defensively and offensively. Kyler Murray was actually playing some of his best football, and things really have gone downhill since then for the Cardinals. But divisional weekend is going to be a lot of fun. Really good games each slate. Cincinnati, Tennessee, that should be a very interesting game. That should be a fun game to watch. San Francisco and Green Bay is intriguing. You have the rematch with the Bucs and the Rams. And then you have, I think, the culmination, what's going to be just a heck of a game Sunday night at 6:30 between Buffalo and Kansas City. I can't wait for that game. And I have a feeling the winner of that game will be on their way to the Super Bowl. That's just my gut feeling there. So we are...
This should be a fun show for you. There should be a lot of complaints.
We just went through some of them.
What were you complaining about now?
Well, I didn't get a chance to complain about what a terrible weekend it was for the officials. And also that I think Cliff Kingsbury is borderline of a fraudulent head coach.
I mean, it turns important. Like, please don't tell me you were blaming the officiating in the.
No. There were some bad calls, but no.
To be honest with you, I mean, the only complaint you'd have is maybe they did a great job of tossing the coin. I mean, but other than that, that's the last thing you could complain about with the officials. After that, it was all on that clown show you put out there.
No question. But I'm also relieved somewhat because. Thinking that the Eagles were probably going to have the worst playoff performance out of the whole group. I think they've been topped by Dallas a little bit, and they were definitely topped by Arizona last night. That was bad. At least the Eagles didn't have negative yardage after one quarter.
I would say the Eagles, Steelers, Arizona, Patriots, those four had the worst playoff performance.
But at least the Steelers led for a quarter and a half, and they kept Patrick Mahomes off the scoreboard for a quarter and a half. I'd put them up a little further. A little further.
I think I went 6-0 in my picks.
Yes, you did. Okay. And King and I went 5-1 because the King had New England, and of course, I picked the Eagles.
And I said that the Bills would easily beat the Patriots. I said that the Eagles would be non-competitive with the Bucs, that the Chiefs would crush the Steelers, and that the Rams would have no problem with Arizona, and that the best game would be the 49ers game.
There you go.
I think I did pretty well.
And here's this stat, too, which leads to another complaint of mine that I've had before, is adding this seventh team. Sure, I benefited from it as an Eagles fan because they made the playoffs as the seventh seed, but the average margin of victory this weekend was 17.5 points. That's why the NFL should have left everything the way it is and leave well enough alone.
There'll be a point, to be honest with you, where it's... to be honest with you, I think there'll be a point where a 7 will win the Super Bowl. It's just, you know, these things, over time, they weed themselves out. Just like a 16 finally won in the NCAA tournament when UMBC beat Virginia. Of course, many years before in the women's tournament, Harvard beat Stanford as a 16 beating a 1. We've seen 14s get to the Sweet 16, Florida Gulf Coast. We've seen first four in college basketball. First four, VCU, played in the first four in Dayton and got all the way to the Final Four. So over time, these things weed themselves out. That's why, if you notice, I hardly ever make instant evaluations on something. Because experience tells me that over time, certain things kind of work themselves out. That's why I'm a lot calmer than you are.
That certainly plays a part of it, yes.
Well, the experience tells you that. I mean, wild card teams now win in the baseball playoffs. Six seeds have won Super Bowls, the Steelers, Green Bay, the Giants, all as six seeds, won the Super Bowl, which meant they had to play and win every game away from home. So, you know, we make that rash of judgment, especially with the 17-game schedule. The anomaly was with the 17-game schedule, that, you know, and I, you know, let's, you know, it'd be sound like the broken record, but it goes, let's go back to the Eagles for a moment. The Eagles had the last place schedule, which means they got Detroit. They got the 15th game crossover game with the Jets. The 17th game crossover game with the Jets. Okay. And you get lucky with it. Okay. Well, the Eagles got lucky with, you know what, they're a little bit better team than people realize to start with. All right. I think they showed you last year with Hurts that, you know, they were very competitive. Now you give them a last-place schedule and a team that's a little bit better than probably a last-place team. They took advantage of it. They won some games. And they got themselves to the playoffs. Steelers were in a position where, look, you know, to be honest with you, you probably will have a different opinion about the seventh seed if it's the Chargers. Right?
That is an interesting point, yeah.
Chargers are probably a better team, but they're young, not consistent enough, and they've got a quarterback that can make plays. Lots and lots of plays. But they don't have enough of a defense. They have very interesting coaching decisions. There you go. Guess what? Hey, dude, you're not playing Madden right now.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Hey, we're not sitting back with the little controller playing Madden. All right? So it's fourth down of your own 18, okay? We're in the real world right now. Punt. Okay, like this is the big guy game. Got a punt. Mad now. Go for it. What the hell? Let's have some fun here. Oh. All right. But the Chargers are a better representative as the seventh seed. Now, they didn't earn it. They didn't win their way in. The Steelers, by everything, got in. That doggone tie actually was to the benefit of the Steelers in the end with Detroit. So I think that you have an aberration on what a seventh seed is. There'll be years where a seventh seed gets in and you're going, whoa. Like, okay, I'll give you last year. Who had the seventh seed been a year ago? I guess what they had sevens in last year. But
yeah.
But last year's seventh seed, remember the Dolphins won 10 games last year. They were 10-6 and didn't make it. Right? So there, you know, see what it's like, okay, wait a minute, it's a double digit win team, they're 10-6, and they didn't make it as a seventh seed. So every year is its own story. Every year is unto itself. Penn State Minnesota basketball tomorrow night's postponed. In getting ready for the game, I was concerned in getting ready for the game because Minnesota played Iowa Sunday. And so, you know, I'm looking at the lineup, and there's a lineup change, which I knew was going to happen anyway because Eric Curry did get hurt at Michigan State. So he didn't play because he was hurt. But Minnesota put out a release before the game about who was not available for their Sunday game. Now, Curry was on that list, so I knew he was there because of an injury. But then I'm looking at Sutherland and two other guys, and like, okay, something is not. I said, are they going to have enough players to play on Wednesday? Well, it turns out they don't. So the game is postponed. Penn State's next game will be Saturday with Iowa at 4:30 at Carver Hawkeye. So I'll fly out Sunday night. Or I fly out Friday night for the Saturday game. Then they'll play at Indiana. That means Penn State, you know, because of the aberration in the schedule, will play three straight road games here. The Big Ten proved to me last year, and they're proving it to me in women's basketball right now, they are outstanding at figuring out spots to put games in. And doing it on the fly in the schedule. This game, I'm 95 to 98% confident will be made up. Where, I don't know. There are gaps. We'll go back to what I've talked about at the beginning of this when they were going through the COVID issues. I try to remind everybody that it's subtle, but there are always two bye weeks in a Big Ten basketball schedule. They're subtle. A bye week is always obvious in football. Hey, you're not playing Saturday. It's a bye week. In basketball, they're far more subtle. Where suddenly you play on a Saturday and you don't play again until the next Saturday. That's a bye week. There's no middle of the week game. There's also the one where you play on a Wednesday and don't play till the next Wednesday. You got the weekend off. That's the other bye week. So Penn State hasn't had their bye weeks yet. And I think Minnesota has not either. So there will be gaps in there if they can match it up and at least have a couple days between games where they'll make this game up. And I'm 95 to 98% sure they'll make it up. Okay? But that's the situation. No game tomorrow night in the Jordan Center. And they'll make it up at some point, I'm confident. And next game is at Iowa Saturday at 4:30. I checked the weather in Iowa. It looks just beautiful. And you guys are, man, in fact, I'd like to take all of you with me. Take you, Lawrence, Mertzi. Come on out. It's going to be 5 degrees. I looked at the forecast for Iowa. So I'm reading the forecast. Low 5. Okay. Being outdoors for 15 minutes could lead to frostbite.
Oh, my almighty!
I mean, I've got three letters to sum up how I feel about this sometimes. ACC. Why? I don't know. I know the money's different, and I love the Big Ten, but I could have been going to Florida State. Let's go to Iowa City. This will be great. Why don't you come out to the coast? It'll be great. We'll have some laughs. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Awesome pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And they have a great service department. Yeah, inspections, great. Routine, great. Difficult, great. I mean, really, the full service. I mean, it's stem to stern, right? Life of the car dealership. And they just have so many repeat customers. Why? They just, it is great with customer service from stem to stern. All right. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 at 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. You're complaining about the officiating. The games were routes. Except for the Cincinnati game, Boger's group's not working the rest of the playoffs.
Well, yeah, and the NFL took care of that. I don't know. I just thought it was a bad weekend overall.
I didn't. What bad calls were in the Patriots-Bills game? None. Bad calls last night? None. Some of these games were routes, so they were just like, who cares what was called? The Dallas-San Francisco game, I'll be honest with you, was an extremely well-officiated game. You're watching replay after replay of Dallas? You know, they committed 14 penalties. Matt, which one was wrong?
I'm focusing on primarily two games. The Vegas-Cincinnati game, and there were a couple
that's
Eagles-Bucks.
The Boger game. But
yeah.
That's the Boger game.
Correct.
Right? And the Bucks-Eagles game, who cares? what officials called determine that game? What, the coin flip?
The only one I bring up is the one on Jason, the hold on Jason Kelce.
Oh,
I think
God,
that
just,
took back just, the Dallas
oh,
Goddard
please,
play.
Oh, please.
That's all. I'm not even going to blame on the Derek Barnett one because Derek Barnett deserves to put it on himself.
Your team was overmatched.
Yes, there's no question.
Okay, it doesn't matter. They could have taken the high school group from St. Jesuits down the street, and they could have officiated the game. It wouldn't have mattered. You're just not good enough. Okay?
Even Bishop Sycamore?
Well, Penn State practice at St. Jesuits, so that's why I said that.
Okay.
They're down the street from the stadium.
Gotcha.
Okay. I was just there. Come on. The people standing in the line waiting to be tested two blocks away from the stadium, they could have picked eight people out there to officiate the game. Good enough. It's only the Eagles. It wouldn't have mattered. You have no complaints. You're not good enough. Next year, you might be. Next year, you might be. This day, this year, no. You know, experience level, matchups. Lack of execution. But that's one thing I've always admired about having you on this show. When it comes to execution, you're in favor of a lot of people's execution. All right. Well, all right. So fire them all. All right. Let's bring in Nate Power on 3.com. Sir, welcome. Always a pleasure.
I got to catch up with the one guy who fills my week with news, young Shrewsbury.
There you go. I understand that. Yes, young Shrewsbury. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we'll make sure you get that news coming up because they've got Minnesota on Wednesday night. You watched it yesterday. No Seth Lundy in the game. What did you think about how Penn State reacted?
Yeah, I mean, two things. It matters, right? Like, that's the first thing. is in a game that Penn State lost by five, you know, and couldn't really get much of anything going offensively, not for a lack of open shots, but because those open shots did not go in.
Yep.
You know, that's where one of your better shooters makes a difference. And so, you know, I think that the game has to be viewed in that context of it's just, I think too often we kind of gloss over personnel absences, and that's one that you really can't do that. So that's the first thing. Yeah. And then the second thing, obviously, is they played their grinding style to perfection.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they have really dialed in defensively what they want to do, how they want to dictate the pace of the game. And you know, I think that they're going to give themselves a chance in all of these games if they can execute that, and that's what they were able to do yesterday.
Yeah. It's interesting in that game, you start looking at it, and even though they were behind the entire time, the last 5:52 of the first half, Ohio State didn't hit a shot. The
yep.
last 5:02 of the game, Ohio State didn't hit a shot. You're talking about 11 minutes of the game, the end of the first half, the end of the game, where Ohio State didn't hit a single shot.
Yep. Yep. But was at the free throw line. And
right.
So,
exactly.
You know, there's this combination of, yeah, if Ohio State can get its points at the free throw line, that's enough of an issue on its own. But it's compounded when you have empty possessions offensively.
No
which
doubt.
Which is what Penn State did. We have message board threads that we do during games, and I was joking, but also with a tinge of sincerity, you know, with 3:50 to play, they were down four, and I made a joke. I said Penn State's going to have to score five more points than Ohio State the rest of the way
right.
if it wants to win. And guess what? They didn't.
Right.
They didn't. Right? Ohio State closed those last 4 minutes with one more point than Penn State. And, you know, it was a combination of a Sam Sessoms turnover, an untimely foul, like you name it. You just the things that transpired at Northwestern down the stretch, Penn State couldn't do on Sunday. And that tends to be the difference in those types of games.
Yeah, in fact, Penn State committed 25 fouls in the game. 10
yep.
were against E.J. Liddell. That's 40% of the fouls. Now, he also handles the ball 40% of the time for Ohio State. And he didn't have a great day at the line, but that's the kind of attention he draws. And I think, as Micah said, there are a couple times too many. He felt Penn State went for ill-advised steals when they shouldn't have.
Yep. Yep. Well, and again, Steve, who covers E.J. Liddell in the first matchup?
It was Seth Lundy.
Mm-hmm. And E.J. Liddell didn't have a great game in that first matchup.
No, he did
so,
not.
So, I mean, you know, I think that the point that Shrewsbury has made, and they, you know, they've social media-ized it a little bit in the time since, is Lundy has often gotten the best player on opposing teams
mm-hmm.
through the course of the season
right.
and has done an excellent job. It is an underrated part of his game. And so when you don't have a piece like that who is, you know, really as integral as he is to limiting opponents, you know, whether it's open shots or not fouling, that's an important piece that Penn State didn't have.
Right. And they've got Minnesota next. Minnesota went through some of the same yesterday. Curry was out with an injury. A couple other guys were out for other reasons yesterday. They lost by 10 to Iowa. And it looked like
Patrick McCaffrey play, but his brother didn't. I mean, so you're looking every day to see who's in and who's out. But they lost by 10 yesterday. You know, for Penn State, you know, this is something we've talked about before, but I mean, the bottom line is, you know, you have to keep winning home games, see if you can steal another one on the road.
Yep, 100%. 100%. I was literally just talking about this. This is the game that Penn State, you know, it can go either way,
yep,
but Penn State has to win. Right, like the 6:30 p.m. Big Ten Network game that no one cares about against two teams or two programs that were anticipated or expected to not do a whole lot this season. Like, you gotta, at home, you gotta hold serve, and so that it is tremendously important that one, they win, but two, that Seth Lundy is a part of that. Like, yeah, it all of a sudden becomes very, very important what the extent of his absence is based on, you know, protocols and what have you, right? I mean, yeah, all of those things are going to come into play here. And if he's available, I think it changes the dynamic of what the expectations are pretty significantly.
I can't believe you'd make a statement about nobody cares about I mean, what's next, Nate? I mean, you're going to tell me they're just going to give a team one Saturday home game when the students aren't there? Is that the next thing you're going to say? Or are you going to say that they got to play on a Thursday at midnight and have to come back and play on a Saturday at noon? I mean, what are you saying here, Nate?
I would never go so far.
I would never throw out those scenarios. I've never lived them in my life.
Never. There was a time in my career, and I'm sure you can attest to the same, where things like that kind of breeze past you. You don't notice them. They're just, you know, it kind of is what it is. Oh, okay. But after 17 years, there are trends involved. And the trends, I'm not even sure that anybody denies it, is, look, like, when this is your status as a program, a traditionally underperforming, losing program, this is where they put you, right? They get you have to be, like, the Big Ten contract is that you have to be on ESPN twice, and so to knock that out of the way, they put Penn State Northwestern because both programs stink.
I've never noticed that. You know, I'm sure I may have lived it, but no, I've never noticed it. All right. have I ever pointed on the show? I don't know, Matt. Maybe I get passing. Okay, this is the last day you declare for the NFL draft, I do believe. It's 1 week after the national championship game. So who are you waiting on right now to see as to, you know, where they play or go?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I think certainly for Penn State, you know, there would be questions for Mike Miranda. I don't know that he has put out a statement way or another. I don't think Cam Sullivan Brown we're not talking about superstars here, but they are guys who probably would at least pursue that opportunity, right? If it was something in front of them. So those are two of the bigger guys. Is there somebody that I'm missing in terms of fifth-year guys?
Yeah. I guess technically Pinniger.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just saying. Believe it or not, I believe with the COVID rules, you do have to declare whether or not you're coming back. I believe you do.
Interesting. I'm not clear on that. Yeah,
because remember last year, guys were declaring, "I'm coming back," because I think the NFL wanted you to say out loud whether you're in or you're out.
Yeah. Well, no, it's we've been kind of following it, and you know, Fred Hansard, I don't think has had a statement.
No,
but they're kind of guys who have been in the program for a while and have gotten reps. You know, like these are guys who have played. It's just a question of, I think that this is fair to say without hurting anybody's feelings, like, this isn't a one-sided decision, right? It is not just for the player to decide whether or not they want to come back. It's whether or not Penn State, feels as though it has the roster flexibility to maintain that, right? To keep that person around. So, yeah, no, it's going to get there. It's going to get there. I don't know what the timelines are, but certainly there will start to be some clarifications in terms of the overwhelming amount of Penn State scholarship athletes for next season.
Did Noah Cain surprise you in any way? And did it surprise you in any way that within minutes it was LSU?
A little, right? I think that he certainly had some signs on the wall, right, that things would continue to be difficult for him to really assert himself, and not without or not with a lack of opportunities, right? I mean, he was the first running back at the start of the season, really kind of held onto that role even through coming back from that injury and then getting re-injured,
right?
It's just a tough situation because I think for him, very clearly, you want to regain that status of what you were, what he was as a true freshman. But is the opportunity going to be there when a Kevon Lee and a Nick Singleton and a Catron Allen are all still in that room? And, certainly I think the combination of those things
And
it made sense.
And still Keziah Holmes, too.
And Devin
Ford.
Exactly. It's an interesting room because you knew, like, you can't have six,
no.
Right? Like, you can't have six scholarship running backs. There's too many. Even four is maybe a little bit more of a sweet spot. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out next season.
I cannot be the one responsible for keeping you away from Young Shrewsbury.
I gotta log on. It's Zoom time.
And you Zoom away. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Steve.
All right, Nate Bauer on 3.com. Next half hour, Neil Coulong. We're just moments away from the next Matt complaint. He honestly feels that officiating swung the Eagles-Bucks game.
No, not in the least, but there were still some bad calls.
Oh, for goodness sake, just stop it. Okay, it's a bad look. Okay? You get blown out, and you were blown out. All right? It's a bad look. Okay? It's just, no. Okay? It's a bad look, okay? Okay, when you play as poorly as you did, don't complain about the officials. He can't. He got no leg to stand on. Doggone coin killing you. All right, we'll come back more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ben, you guys dealt with a lot of adversity this season. How do you sum up what this team is able to accomplish this year?
Just a bunch of guys that fought for each other, that fought their butts off and just competed. It wasn't always pretty, but there were a lot of games that we found a way. And like I said, just like tonight, fought to the end. And I'll just say that I'm so proud of this group of men and the way they fight and for each other, for the black and gold, for our fans. And so it's just been an honor to play with them.
Well, it's better than the post-game press conference for the Eagles where they said, how would you sum up the season? They said, I'll tell you, the Bucs aren't the Jets.
I still like Jalen Hurts' press conference from December. You drop you a deuce, you flush it. We'll move on to the offseason.
Now, I'll say this, what Dak Prescott did about the fans throwing stuff at the officials.
Yeah, it was disgraceful.
That's a disgrace. The other part is, I'll be honest with you, this is what should bother Dallas. That actually was a well-officiated game. Tell me where they got it wrong.
Oh, it's because of the end. when he shouldn't have ran the freaking quarterback sneak anyway.
But they didn't get the end wrong.
Exactly.
The officials did not get the end wrong.
Exactly.
The Cowboys got the end wrong.
This is why we hate Dallas.
And Kellen Moore's getting interviews. What?